As a charge nurse, you can be a confident and dynamic leader who supports the nursing team and guides their patient care. Grand Canyon University's RN to BSN online degree program equips you with strategies that prepare you to manage the ever-changing realities of healthcare while maintaining focus on family support and patient outcomes. What do you think making a difference in healthcare looks like? GCU offers over 250 high-quality online programs like this one. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Visit gcu.edu.
Progressive presents Forest Metaphors, about bundling your home and auto.
In sports, three goals is a hat trick. And when you bundle your home and auto with Progressive, you get a hat trick of great savings and round-the-clock protection. So you might be thinking, wait, that's two things. A hat trick is three. But in this metaphor, great savings counts as two goals, and so does round-the-clock protection. So it's like four goals, and that's more than three. It's basic math.
Forest Metaphors, presented by Progressive. Bundle and protect today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Discount not available in all states or situations.
Hello, everybody. I'm Ed Robinson, and welcome to another exciting edition of The Robinson Show. On the program, I have her back on, Allison Manley. Allison is the host of the Manly Woman Skatecast. The show is devoted to figure skating and the movers and shakers in the sport, from athletes to broadcasters to fans. On the program, we recap the figure skating competition at the 2022 Winter Olympics in Beijing, China. Also, we discuss other topics such as the Kamila Valieva situation, Nathan Chin winning an Olympic gold medal, and so much more. Allison is coming up after the break. Stay tuned. You're listening to The Robinson Show.
Street King, they can get you anything. New wheels for your ride if you want to be a street king.
Since that fat tax check is coming soon, get some custom wheels on your ride today. Street King will give you 90 days same as cash. Just pay them off when your tax check comes. Choose from the huge in-store selection of 24-inch wheels as low as $12.99, 22s as low as $9.99, or rent or own your wheels from as low as $29 per week. No credit check. Located in Baton Rouge at 7221 Airline Highway, just north of Greenwell Springs Road. Google Street King or visit GoStreetKing.com.
New wheels for your ride if you want to be a street king.
And now the weather. Expect partly cloudy skies with an excellent chance of maximum refunds. Wait, that can't be right.
Oh, but it is.
Who are you?
I'm April. And we could see refunds raining down all tax season with people switching to TaxAct.
TaxAct?
The tax filing software that makes it easy to file for less and get more.
New forecast. It's sunny days ahead for everyone using TaxAct.
Always happy to brighten your day.
TaxAct.
Switch to TaxAct today and start for free.
See TaxAct.com for details.
Street King, yeah. They can get you anything.
Uh-huh.
New wheels for your ride if you want to be a street king.
Yeah.
Since that fat tax check is coming soon, get some custom wheels on your ride today. Street King will give you 90 days same as cash. Just pay them off when your tax check comes. Choose from the huge in-store selection of 24-inch wheels as low as $12.99, 22s as low as $9.99, or rent or own your wheels from as low as $29 per week. No credit check. Located in Baton Rouge at 7221 Airline Highway, just north of Greenwell Springs Road. Google Street King or visit GoStreetKing.com.
New wheels for your ride if you want to be a street king.
Street King,
yeah.
They can get you anything.
Uh-huh.
New wheels for your ride if you want to be a street king.
Yeah.
Since that fat tax check is coming soon, get some custom wheels on your ride today. Street King will give you 90 days same as cash. Just pay them off when your tax check comes. Choose from the huge in-store selection of 24-inch wheels as low as $12.99, 22s as low as $9.99, or rent or own your wheels from as low as $29 per week. No credit check. Located in Baton Rouge at 7221 Woo. Airline Highway, just north of Greenwell
yeah.
Springs Road. Google Street King or visit GoStreetKing.com.
New wheels for your ride if you want to be a street king.
Hello, skate fans, and welcome to the Manly Woman Skatecast. This is your host, Allison Manley. I love doing this episode in particular every year because it's completely spontaneous. I never know who I'm going to run into in the arena, but it's always going to be interesting. It never fails. And this year, of course, was no different. I got a fantastic cross-section of people, from very famous ones to some locals who knew really nothing about skating to some hardcore fans.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the program. Of course, that audio was courtesy of Allison Manley and the intro to her podcast, The Manly Woman Skatecast. And we had her on last time to talk about just some of the Olympic hopefuls in the 2022 Winter Olympics in Beijing. And to recap the 2022 Winter Olympics. We have her back on the program to talk about the highlights and the lowlights of everything that went down in Beijing. So let's welcome her back to the program, the host of the Manly Woman Skatecast, to give you anything and everything about happening in the world of figure skating, Allison Manly. Allison, welcome back to the program.
Hi, nice to be back. Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to be back on the program. So before we get more into the situation with Kamila Valieva, of course, she was the headline amongst the Olympics, of course, figure skating. I mean, that was such a, man, a black eye to what happened during the time in Beijing. I'm going to play an audio clip. This is courtesy of the International Olympic Committee, the Olympics, and NBC Sports. This is Tara Lipinski speaking on the Valieva situation.
It definitely was. That was the worst I've seen her skate all season. And, I mean, you just have to imagine the enormous pressure that was on her shoulders. And, again, that's why she shouldn't have competed in this event. And, again, I wish the adults were able to step in and help guide her. And, you know, Johnny, you mentioned Anna, and we're here clapping. And that's just one thing I took away from this entire event was when I saw Anna standing there by herself, not a coach in sight, just looking, not knowing what to do, I thought, is this the face of a newly crowned Olympic champion? I remember from my own experience, those next 10 minutes are the best 10 minutes, the hugs, the kisses, the celebration. And, again, this is why something like Kamila Valieva skating, this is what happens.
All right, again, that audio is courtesy of the International Olympic Committee, the Olympics, and NBC Sports. That was commentator for the figure skating coverage, Tara Lipinski, giving her thoughts on the Kamila Valieva situation. Now, for those of you that may not be familiar what happened, long story short, Valieva tested positive for a banned substance. She had been taking heart medication, and she was granted a provisional clause to compete in the competition, in the women's singles competition. And, of course, that was one of the lowlights and, of course, a headline throughout the 2.5 weeks at the Winter Olympics in Beijing. All right, Allison, I know you got a lot to say. Give me your thoughts on the whole Valieva situation.
Well, I have a lot of them. I definitely agree that once she tested positive for any substance that was banned, that she should not have been allowed to skate, period. I also feel for her because, of course, she is so young. She spent her entire young life working towards this goal. And, you know, that's tragic for her to have all this happen at that time and have all of that pressure on her shoulders. Also, am a little bit raising my eyebrows at those who didn't see this coming. There's been a long history since the 2014 Sochi Olympics with doping and the Russian team. This is not a mystery to anybody. It has mostly been avoided by skaters because a lot of the drugs are, of course, for speed or bulking up. You know, a lot of the drugs that most are commonly heard of, skaters wouldn't take because it would affect their flexibility. You know, you don't want to be bulky as a skater. You need to be able to rotate quickly. And so I did have to roll my eyes a little bit at those who found themselves a bit shocked that this could have happened to a Russian team when you look at the history of how the Russian ladies in particular have evolved since the Sochi Olympics. You and I, the last time we spoke, we mentioned Surya Bonaly, who back in the early 90s was the first person to attempt a quadruple jump. She didn't land it successfully in competition, but she was out there attempting it. It took many, many years later until the next skater actually did land a successful quad jump in the Olympics, or in any competition internationally. That was Niki Ando of Japan. And typically the cadence when a new element of that caliber is being introduced, there are long periods of time between the first attempt, the first successful attempt, and then people landing it on a regular basis. But what happened with the ladies in Russia in particular, when it came to the quadruple jump, is that all of a sudden, starting in 2014, after the doping scandal that happened there with athletes across the board, all of a sudden you had these girls landing all these quadruple jumps very, very quickly in succession, all coming from the same training school and the same coaches. So I find it a little bit interesting, if you will, that it took so long for people to come around, because there was certainly of circumstantial evidence that this was unnatural, if you will. And I'm glad it finally came to light. I hope with everything moving forward in the future that something is done about it. I'm not sure the IOC is going to do anything about it, but I do hope that they take a deeper, darker look at all of that, especially with what's happening, you know, politically with Russia as of 2 days ago. I really think the world needs to take a bit of a harder look at all of the ways that they might be influencing culture.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you on that, Allison. I want to stay just with the Valieva situation for a moment. We know figure skating has had its controversies over the years. I mean, it's not a perfect sport, but overall, figure skating has had this sport and this presence of being very regal and very magical and very, what's the word I'm looking for? I guess a sport where it's all about showmanship. What do you think this is going forward? What do you think the sport needs to do in terms to get the go back to that regal nature, or going back to that nature of the sport being about the pomp and circumstance and having the showmanship?
You know, I'm not sure. I think it needs to stay exactly that way, to be honest. I do feel very strongly that, like anything else, it needs to evolve. Skating is very much a combination of theater as well as sport, always has been, always will be. I do like the fact that it is evolving in different ways. I would say one of the biggest additions, of course, in the past decade or so has been the ability to use music with lyrics. It seems like such a small thing now, but at the time it was huge, to be honest. And it really opened up the possibilities for the skaters just to get more creative. There was a time where, of course, there are certain warhorse pieces of music that skaters use over and over. You can think of many of the great operas, you know, Carmen, Phantom of the Opera, which is not an opera but a musical, that have just been sort of used over and over to death. And so I was a bit skeptical of the addition of lyrics, and they did phase it in slowly. It was allowed in ice dance first before it was allowed in the other disciplines. But I'm glad in retrospect that it was done. And I do feel, I don't think it's lost its pomp and circumstance, but I do feel like it's an evolution, and I appreciate the evolution.
All right, and excuse me, and speaking of evolution, the last time you were on the program, we talked about figure skating and the world of broadcasting. You mentioned about Dick Button, and we talked about Terry Gannon, and also Johnny Weir and Tara Lipinski. While they have been a duo, but they really shine bright during this whole Olympic coverage with NBC and covering the whole Valieva situation, and it was just stone silence when Camilla had taken the ice, and they were very outspoken in what the situation had happened with her. Just give me your thoughts on Johnny and Tara and their work during the 2.5 weeks.
So I'm going to take them to task a little bit, to be fair. I actually do appreciate Johnny and Tara as commentators. I think Johnny in particular, because he has competed under the international judging system, I think he knows his stuff very well. I think they both have a lot of enthusiasm and love for the sport, and it comes out very, very clearly. Having said that, as I mentioned before, there was a lot of time where I feel in particular with Johnny, because he has spent so much time watching the Russian skaters and very much being a fan of the Russian school of skating. He's a huge fan. He speaks the language fluently. He learned it. I applaud him for that. He has worked with a lot of Russian skaters himself. He's been invited to Russia to watch the training school. And if you watch any of his previous broadcasts over the several past years, it's very clear that the Russian skaters were his favorites. You know, he really fawned over them quite a bit, to the detriment, I think, sometimes of some of the other skaters. He was just so in awe and shock of what they could do, which I think, again, I applaud the enthusiasm, but I do feel like his and Tara's commentary, once the doping was revealed, to me, in my cynical eye, to be a little bit more reputation management on their part, because he was taken to task on social media by a lot of skating fans for the fact that, hey, you know, but for the past 6 years, you've been talking about nothing but these skaters and their quads, and now all of a sudden you're outraged. You know, it seemed like we're all, myself included, everyone's very glad that they got there, but it just seemed, it seemed like it got so big and people were taking him to task that he had to do a little bit of backpedaling to put out a formal statement that says, she absolutely shouldn't be here. We want clean athletes. And I absolutely 100% believe that. I do believe that he and Tara are wanting clean athletes. You know, as he did say on one interview when he was asked, well, what about the fact that you've been a bit overly supportive of the Russian school of training in the past? He did correctly say that, you know, it's not as though when you go to Russia, you know, they're going to show you, he didn't say this exactly, but he said they're going to bring out the good China, right? They're going to show you the good stuff. They're not necessarily going to take him into the back room and show them the needles or the, you know, the drugs. So I don't think for a second that he knew anything about doping. I just want to make that clear. I think now just moving forward, they're going to be a little bit more careful about showing too much favoritism to any one skating group or skater in general and be a little bit more neutral. I think that he was taken to task in the past for being a little less neutral. I think moving forward, they're going to be much more careful. But I definitely applaud that they called them out and said that she shouldn't be there, because as the clip that you played, Tara did really correctly point out that this was such a burden put on Valieva unfairly. It did cast a dark cloud over the entire women's event. I'm very glad that a lot of the ladies could rise above it and have wonderful performances. There were several really wonderful performances that came out of that event. But, you know, as we all saw watching unfold, the medalists were a bit of a mess, except for the bronze medalist, who was thrilled. But the entire ladies Russian team, every single one of them, I thought it was so tragic that not one of them had a good experience. You know, Valieva crumbled under the pressure and ended up fourth. And Trusova was unhappy with her silver medal. And then you have Sherbakova, who was sitting there by herself clutching a teddy bear, not having that joyous moment that Tara talked about. And that really was tragic for all of them. I felt badly for the entire Russian ladies team, just that not one of them could really enjoy the moment of the event that they've worked their entire lives for.
Yeah, and that's going to segue into the next topic, and that's the women's singles competition. And again, in the midst of the whole Valieva situation, as you mentioned, the medalist Sherbakova, representing the Russian Olympic Committee, won the gold medal. Trusova winning the silver medal, and then Sakamoto winning the bronze for Japan. I mean, watching this, it clearly showed you, Allison, that all three of these young ladies that were competing had their Olympic moment taken away, because, I mean, 4 years is so far off. We don't, a lot can happen within 4 years, and we don't know if they're going to come back. We don't know. Of course, we know the political climate with Russia, Ukraine, and whatnot. But, I mean, in the weird scheme of things, just can you elaborate more just kind of on this whole fiasco within the women's singles competition, and just they're having their Olympic moment taken away from them?
I mean, it's hard to elaborate more than what you saw on TV. It was, as you said, it's tough to know if they're going to be around in 4 years. That their particular coach, not one of her skaters in the past several world championships or even the past two Olympic cycles, has really made it past the age of 17 or 18. They have short competitive lifespans, if you will. You know, here we had, on the USA side, we had Mariah Bell competing at the grand old age of 25, which is considerably on the older side for a women's skater. The pairs and the dance teams can tend to have a bit more longevity into their late 20s, early 30s, and in some cases even beyond that. But and of course, the men, since they develop their strength a bit later, tend to be in their late teens, early 20s. But for the ladies, you do tend to have a peak before you turn 20. Having said that, there have been many, many women skaters who have been able to have long careers beyond that. But the skaters from that particular Russian school, because I do want to make sure that I emphasize that it's that particular school. There are other Russian skaters who were phenomenal, who, because there were only three spots, did not make the Olympic team for Russia, who are on the older side. And I use the word older like they're ancient at 22, right, which is incredible. But, I worry for seeing these three in particular. I would love to see them be healthy enough to stick around. I'm skeptical that they will be healthy enough to stick around.
I want to ask you, I know USA Gymnastics increased their age requirement, I think, to like maybe 21 or 22 or something like that. You mentioned at 17, they hit their peak in terms of Russian figure skaters. Are there age requirements with the federation, or does it depend on the coaches?
The age requirement lies with the International Skating Union. So it was currently at 15. That is going to be revisited at their next conference coming up shortly.
Okay, fair enough. And we leave the lowlights, and I want to get into the highlights now. And we talked about him. He was really one of the highlights of Beijing, Nathan Chen. I mean, what a difference 4 years made. I mean, making up for that, you know, abysmal performance in Pyeongchang and winning the gold medal in the men's singles competition. Give me your thoughts on Nathan and his run in Beijing.
You know, Nathan was the one to beat, and he absolutely did not disappoint. I had a lot of confidence that he was going to do well in Beijing because he had such consistency over this past Olympic cycle. He has been, I think he lost one competition in 4 years, which is really remarkable. And he was so disappointed in himself from Pyeongchang, and he fixed it in the long program. You know, you may recall that he competed three times in Pyeongchang. He did the team event, which he did not do well personally for him, even though he did end up with a medal because of the team score overall. And then he did not do well in his individual short program. He, I believe, if memory serves, he was 17th after the short, which was stunning and a huge surprise to everyone, himself included. But he ended up winning the long program. He came out with such fire in his belly, landed five quads that hadn't been done, and then he ended up winning the long program. So the aggregate of his two scores and how everyone else shook out put him in fifth overall, which was a nice meteoric rise from being 17th after the short. So it's interesting because when you read or listen to interviews with Nathan, he really just changed his mindset. It was very much a mental game for him. It had very little to do with his technical ability or physical ability. He knew exactly what he needed to do. He did work hard on any weaknesses he had, which were few to begin with. And for him, it was just really the mental gymnastics of being able to conquer his demons. And once he conquered them in the short program for the team event, I had a lot of confidence that he was fine moving on from there. He was not taking any chances as far as masking or COVID protocols. He was, all the way leading up to the Olympics, he would not take any chances at all. Every time you saw him with teammates, if they took their masks off, his was always on. He was not going to let anything deter him from doing the absolute best that he could in Beijing. And I'm thrilled for him that he did it. It was really so joyous to see him be able to let loose at the end of the program. You know, you could tell, you know, he knows enough about what he's doing. He could do the mental math in his head that he knew after a certain point that he had done enough to secure the gold. And he was just really able to enjoy himself. And that was the part, I think, that was most wonderful to watch after having watched him be so devastated after Pyeongchang. It was really just the joy.
Yeah, I'm definitely indeed happy for him. And then you could see the joy in his performance that sealed the deal for him to win the gold medal. And I want to talk now about the team event, the United States winning the silver medal in the team event. Of course, Nathan Chen was a member of that team alongside Vincent Joe. Now, Vincent, unfortunately, he was not able to compete in the men's singles competition, testing positive for COVID, but nevertheless, he would win the silver as a part of the team event along with Karen Chen, Alexa Kinnearum, also Brandon Fraser, Madison Hubble, Zachary Donahue, Madison Chalk, and Evan Bates. Just give me your thoughts on the United States winning the silver in the team event.
I was thrilled, mainly for the dance teams who, specifically, I would say, Hubble and Donahue, who did not get to win a team event medal the last time around. I was so proud of how every single team performed. There really wasn't a weak performance anywhere. There was so much strength across the board from all the American skaters. I thought it was wonderful that Chalk and Bates in particular beat the Russian team in their dance portion, because that was a very difficult task for them. It was not expected, and they did. You know, that Russian team is very, very strong, and Chalk and Bates were able to edge them out, which really was helped seal the deal for the Americans to get that silver. And I really thought it was a wonderful way to start the event. There's some debate between skating fans as to whether it's best to have the team event first or last. Some people argue that they like to have it first, so it's a bit of a warm-up. It's less pressure because it's not all on your shoulders. You're not, you know, even though you're the only one out there for your 4 minutes, it's really a group effort. There are some who think, well, maybe you want to save your energy for your individual event that you've put your whole life into and then have the team event last. I think it's up for debate what's best. I personally, not that my opinion matters to how U.S. figure skating wants to structure this, but I personally love having it first. I really do think watching the camaraderie of the team is really a wonderful way to start, regardless of team, whether it's Japan or Georgia or China. I think it's a really great group way to get the ball rolling before the individual events move forward.
I definitely agree with you, and I think the team event should be first. It's just like a great precursor, a great warm-up for the singles competitions. And I want to move along now to ice dancing. The last time I had you on the program, you said you love looking forward to the ice dancing competition. And you mentioned their names. The duo of Madison Hubble and Zachary Donahue would win the bronze medal in ice dancing. Give me your thoughts on Hubble and Donahue and their performance.
Well, I thought it was beautiful. I cried. I personally thought they should have been silver, but again, not an ice dance judge. And they were close. They were about 2.5 points behind. I thought it was a wonderful way for them to cap a very long career and a fruitful partnership. They have such respect for each other. I've really enjoyed watching their career growth. And I thought they were just terrific. I really thought all of our dance teams were terrific. Even our the dance team of Hawaiik and Baker, I don't know if you were familiar with them. They came in 11th, but they were so thrilled to be there. They made the most of their experience on Olympic ice. You know, they really soaked it in, just taking a moment to turn around and be able to look at the rink and admire the Olympic rings around them. I thought their program was spectacular. And I don't know. I know that Hubble and Donahue are planning on retiring. I'm not sure about Chalk and Bates. If Evan went forward to another Olympic cycle, I believe it would be his 6th Olympics. He's done 4. So I'm not sure if they're going to continue for another full cycle, but I do think that our dance teams are in very good hands with Hawaiik and Baker coming up. But I have to say, Ed, that I am such a Papadakis and Cizeron fan, the French team who won the gold. I was on just holding my breath their entire performances, both in the rhythm dance and in the free dance. I just think they are so spectacular and dynamic and beautiful. There is not a flaw anywhere. And I was absolutely blown away by both of their performances. I'm so thrilled that France finally got that gold medal for the two of them.
Yeah, the ice dancing competition was really good. And you mentioned with Papadakis and Cizeron representing France, they were really good. And Hubble and Donahue, they were great as well. That whole ice dance competition was really good towards the end of the Olympics. And I want to get now into pair skating. Were there any thoughts you have on the pair skating competition? Anything that caught your eye?
Oh, goodness. Well, I also was a huge fan of Cui and Han, so I was hoping that they would win the gold for China, and they did, so I was thrilled about that. You know, and it was interesting because I thought the big story coming into this Olympics, of course, before the Valieva doping scandal happened, was going to actually be the Canadian pair team of Vanessa James and Eric Radford. They had come together as a team very hastily, less than a year ago. They had both been with previous partners. Eric, of course, had won the gold medal for Canada with his previous partner, Megan Duhamel, in the last Olympics, and he had also won an individual medal with her as well in the individual event. And he, just a little less than a year ago, teamed up with Vanessa James, who had been representing France with her previous partner. And it was a bit, I don't know if I would call it a scandal, but it was a bit dubious how they got named to the Canadian team by Skate Canada, having been paired together for such a short amount of time. And then they actually ended up having to withdraw from the Canadian Nationals, and they were named to the Olympic team anyway. So I thought coming into the Olympics, that was going to sort of be the big story. But it wasn't. And, you know, that's the thing about ice, right? It's very slippery and you never know what's going to happen. So, but I thought the pairs event was a phenomenal ending to the entire event, considering how the women's event had been a little bit of a black cloud. So I was very pleased that the pairs event overall was so beautifully skated, so forceful. And I was very impressed with Cui and Han, very thrilled for them since they so barely lost the gold medal the last time around. And this time they could win in their home country, of course. I was just thrilled for them. And, you know, our American pairs did a really wonderful job. We ended up sixth and eighth overall with Tenniram and Fraser in sixth place. They had a phenomenal Olympics overall. And then Kane Gribble and Leduc, Timothy Leduc being the first non-binary winter athlete. So that was remarkable in itself. And the fact that Ashley Kane Gribble had sprained her ankle going into the event, and she was still, you know, she made a couple mistakes, but considering her ankle condition, she did phenomenal. I thought she was great. And they ended up in eighth place overall, which was really tremendous. And so I was very thrilled for them. But I also want to really point out the Japanese team, the pairs team of Miura and Kuhara. I don't know if you got to watch them, but wow, what, I mean, they really had a breakout Olympics. There was so much joy in what they did. They were so thrilled with how they skated. There was really, you know, that's what I love about the Olympics. It's not always about the medalists, right? There's so many teams or skaters that do incredible work. And I was so thrilled for that Japanese team of Miura and Kihara that they were able to also just have such a moment in the pairs event.
Awesome, awesome. And, you know, Beijing had a lot of highlights and a lot of lowlights. And, Allison, I've got to ask you, what were your takeaways from Beijing?
Overall, as I just ended with just saying that I love watching all the skaters that you never hear about. I think those were some of the highlights for me. There was a wonderful, one of the big moments for me in the women's event, if we could go back to that for a second, was the Polish skater, Katarina Kurakova. She did a beautiful program to the Chaplin soundtrack, and she has been killing it with this program all season, really making waves. She was pretty low down after the short program in the standings, but she just roared back and had an amazing, amazing long program to end up in 12th place overall. She was absolutely over the moon about it, and I was over the moon for her. I just love when the athletes have a really fantastic skate. You know, there was a triple axels were landed in the ladies event. You know, there were several men's skaters who shone through. You know, Kageyama of Japan getting the silver medal behind Nathan Chen was tremendous. So I really do enjoy. I have my favorites. Absolutely. There's no question. But for me, it's all about just everyone doing the best that they can. That's where I personally find the joy and the satisfaction in our sport is when someone goes out there and they just have an incredible time. And so having said that, I do want to talk about Donovan Carrillo of Mexico, who I thought he was a huge highlight for me. He ended up, you know, towards the bottom of the pack in the men's event, but boy, did he go out and put on a show for all of us. He just was thrilling to watch with the biggest smile on his face. So those are really, for me, some of the breakout moments. Jason Brown of the USA, I cannot end my call with you without mentioning how tremendous his short program is to Nina Simone Sinnerman. The choreography of that program by Raheem Ward is just some of the most masterclass work I've ever seen. I am so sad that I've never been able to see that program in person myself, because I just think it is one of the most incredible pieces of choreography that's ever been performed, and nobody could have done it like Jason. And Jason, who was one of the few men to not have a quad jump, because of the quality of everything else that he does, is so high, still ended up in sixth place. And actually, if he hadn't made the one small mistake that he had made, he would have been in fourth place just off the podium. So those were, for me, some of the real highlights, just all those skaters that maybe never made it to the podium, but just had such a moment for themselves after all their incredibly hard work.
You heard it from her. She's Allison Manley, the host of the Manly Woman Skatecast. And again, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to be on the program. Just tell everybody about what you do at the Manly Woman Skatecast and what's it all about.
Sure. It's a podcast that interviews influential and famous people in the sport of figure skating. I have been doing it since 2007, one of the earliest podcasts in general, let alone figure skating. And I really like to consider myself, if I can fangirl a little bit on Terry Gross from Fresh Air, done by WHYY on NPR. I like to sort of model my interview style after her. I really dig into a person's career and how they fit into the sport of figure skating and what their contributions were. It's not just skaters, but sometimes choreographers, trainers, coaches, anyone who has some influence on the sport and has moved it forward. I'm always interested in their incredible stories and their journeys and their trials and tribulations. So that's what my podcast is about.
Again, thank you so much for being on the program. And tell everybody where they can find you on social media, as well as the Manly Woman Skatecast, and any websites you have. Let the audience know that as well.
Sure. My website is manlywoman.com. That's M-A-N-L-E-Y woman.com. And that's where you can find all the podcasts. But they, of course, all the episodes are on all of the usual podcast channels, such as Apple Podcasts, Spotify, etc. My Twitter handle is MWSkatecast, and I'm also on Facebook. And thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate your time.
You're welcome. I appreciate you as well. And again, you heard it from her. She is Allison Manley, host of the Manly Woman Skatecast. Again, giving you all of the information and highlighting the stories from a wide variety of people in the sport of figure skating, giving us her thoughts on the Beijing Winter Olympics in 2022. Allison, thank you so much for being on the program. And if ever you want to come back on, feel free to let us know.
Thank you.
Be back with more right after this.
Hello, skate fans, and welcome to the Manly Woman Skatecast. This is your host, Allison Manley. I love doing this episode in particular every year because it's completely spontaneous. I never know who I'm going to run into in the arena, but it's always going to be interesting. It never fails. And this year, of course, was no different. I got a fantastic cross-section of people, from very famous ones to some locals who knew really nothing about skating to some hardcore fans.
Hi, I'm Flo from Progressive. Being a baseball fanatic like me can be stressful. It's not all sports points and touchdowns. So Progressive is going to help you take your mind off your team for a moment. Instead of thinking about how they missed that goal point score, think about the Name Your Price tool from Progressive letting you choose coverage options based on your budget, unlike your team that missed the end zone net area. Well, anyway, hope this distraction about Progressive's Name Your Price tool was helpful. It sure kept me from thinking about all those penalty balls. Yay, sports!
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, everybody, that's going to do it for another exciting edition of The Robinson Show. Once again, a big special thank you to Allison Manley, host of the Manly Woman Skatecast. The show is devoted to figure skating and the movers and shakers in the sport, from athletes to broadcasters to fans. Again, thank you to her for giving us a full recap of the 2022 Winter Olympics in Beijing, China, in regards to the figure skating competition. Until next time, remember, put God first in everything you do and you can't go wrong. Until next time, stick to the script. I'm out. Peace.